Jay's chilling down there and watching him jump back. We just played with six here and those on the test and everything. May you bless this and I will. We just pray that we'll always worship you and serve you, Father, and just give us that strength. And watch over through this night and turn on things. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Justin. Thank you for song service. If you will take your Bibles and open them to Acts chapter 14, I'm going to read a passage from this as we start this new study in Acts chapter 14. I don't know exactly why we're preaching here. I do know why that I wanted to preach here, but that seems to have changed. And the Lord does strange and mysterious things sometimes when we try to create Bible studies and messages and things for the Lord's church. God has a reason, a purpose, and everything. So even our preaching, he certainly does have a reason, a purpose in it. So we're going to read a little bit of this, and then we're going to get into an introduction. The introduction won't include this much. But it has a lot of interesting things in it. The Lord has directed my heart to put a lot of interesting things in there. And a lot about Jonah. And we want to look at there. So Paul and Barnabas here in Icon. And he says, verse 1, and it came to pass in Icon that they went both together into the synagogues of the Jews and spake. That a great multitude of, both of Jews and also of Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against their brethren. Verse 3, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part was held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when they were an assault made both of the Gentiles, and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. And they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, and cities of Lycaonia, and unto the regions that lie around about. And there they preached the gospel. So we see here that as Paul and Barnabas, who got together for this trip, came into Icon and they preached in the synagogue, and great things happened. You know, when people are doing God's work, great things happen. Miracles happen. We may not always see them, but when people are doing God's work, and they're doing it the way God wants them to do it, great things happen. Sometimes bad things happen, but still, they're great things, aren't they? Great things don't include always good things. It includes bad things, too. For since the creation of man, evil has been in the world because of Adam and Eve. And evil has always ruled in this world. The world is, by a vast majority, lost people, and lost people are evil. I don't care how nice they look or how nice they sound, they're evil. And in that being said, things happened here, but we are also going to see how God used Paul. Now, these men were stoned. In fact, they thought Paul was dead at the time. And we're going to get into all that later. But right now, we're going to look at the introduction. The great introduction is, God will use any means to prove his power. Any means. We sometimes as people, even Christians, even strong Christians of great belief, truth, sometimes fail to understand what God is doing because we don't know what God is doing. God made us a promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, 28, Romans 8, 28. God made us promise that everything was going to work out to our good. It doesn't matter what everything is. Everything includes everything, even our persecution, trials, tribulations. See, when God has his children, God controls everything in their life. And God has a purpose in what we're doing in this world. So let's get started with this introduction. So throughout the Bible, God has, let me give me a pencil here. If I don't, I will lose my place 20 times. Throughout the Bible, God has always used his power to accomplish his ordained will. God's will is going to be done, okay? If God has ordained it, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what God has ordained. God says we shall have persecution as Christians. We shall have tribulation. These persecution tribulations don't just come upon us. God sends them. God uses them in our lives to accomplish other things. We don't see sometimes what things happen in our lives and how it may affect other people. We're going to use some examples tonight. Even in salvation of sinners, God uses many powers. Some seem, some not seem to accomplish his will. It doesn't matter what things seem. It matters what God has ordained and what the purpose and will of God is for us. These Christians that were, and God's people who have died horribly throughout history, Amen. Did not just die for nothing. They didn't die because God didn't control it. They died that way because God ordained it and predestinated their death to be what it was. So things happen in our lives, and next thing we know, we go looking around and we say, why did God allow that to happen? Why should we say that? Do we not trust the Lord when he says that all things work together for our good? Do we not trust the Lord in everything? See, that's the point we need to reach, and we'll never get there. If we are perfect Christians, we will never worry. We will never ask God why. We will never ask God how. We will trust our life as we move forward, and whatever happens, we will trust that God controls it and that God has ordained it. And everything is for a purpose and a reason that God has. We saw, if you'll turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 1, we saw how God worked his powers and the freeing of the Israelites from Pharaoh, didn't we? Did you see how everything worked with Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh? Did you see all the miracles God done? Sometimes God uses miracles to prove his power, as he did with Pharaoh. And about the time Pharaoh was going to release the people, which you would think God would have been happy, okay, he's going to release them, God didn't want them released. So he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Caused Pharaoh to keep them a little longer. You know why? He had some other things he wanted to show, didn't he? And he showed them, didn't he? And in the end, the Israelites were freed and Pharaoh was dead. See, God had a purpose for a reason for everything. So, God hardened Pharaoh's heart just to show his power over Pharaoh. We saw the prophet Jonah who refused to obey God. Isn't it horrible when people refuse to obey God? Sometimes we do that. We don't realize it sometimes, but we do. We disobey God. We're not perfect in any realm of imagination. No Christian is perfect. We are all still sinners saved by grace, aren't we? But even though we're saved by grace, we're still sinners. And some things we just don't know. Some things we just don't understand. Sometimes we can read the Bible 5,000 times and still not see everything. Because we're so limited in our minds. Sometimes we're so limited in the way that we think. And the way we think affects what we see. It's like a magician. I've talked about this before. They don't really make Elvis disappear. They make you think they made Elvis disappear. There's always a trick to it. There's something illusion going on. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes things aren't the way we see them. So the Lord told Jonah in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 1, arise and go to Nineveh. Now what's that? That's a command, isn't it? If the Lord told me, Randy, you arise this morning and you go to Chicago. Oh, please no, Lord. I would go. If I didn't, I would be disobeying the Lord. Right? So the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me, the Lord said. So Jonah's job was to get up and go to Nineveh because they needed some help there. So what did Jonah do? Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee toward Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, let me ask you this. So Jonah didn't flee from the presence of the Lord, really, did he? He fled from the command of God. He commanded from what God told him to do, but we cannot flee from the presence of the Lord, can we? Jonah knew that. It don't matter which way you go, forward, backward, east, west, it don't matter which way you go, God's there. Okay? You're never outside of God in this world. You're never outside of the presence of God. And the reason for that is it's because God's everywhere. He's even inside of us. In our heart. But scriptures here says that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So Jonah paid the fare thereof and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah had no reasoning about himself that he was going to obey the Lord. And you say, well, that's horrible on Jonah's part, isn't it? It is, isn't it? When we disobey the Lord, we suffer for it, don't we? But you know what I think? I think God called Jonah to disobey him. As we go on through this, we're going to see some things that happened that wouldn't have happened if Jonah hadn't disobeyed the Lord. That God called him. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in the ordained will, predetermined will of God. Sometimes when we do things we shouldn't do, we're still doing the will of God. Now, example of that is, Joe Biden's our president. You may say, he's not my president, he's your president. You live here. If you're a citizen of the United States of America, I'll promise you, the man is your president. We may not like him. He may want to make abortion legal even after a baby's born to kill him. But you know God put him in office? And ever who's in there after the first year, January 20th next year, that's who God put in office. And it could be Kamala Harris. They're talking now about Joe stepping down, letting Kamala run. Whatever her name is, Camilla, Kamala, I don't care what it is. But that would be the will of God if she was elected, wouldn't it? See, we have to look at everything as the will of God and God's will and purpose of making things happen. So here's Jonah disobeying God. Now Jonah was an elder man of God, was he not? I mean, God's telling Jonah what to do. I mean, can you imagine you wake up in the morning and God talks to you? He does. He talks to my heart. Okay, I'm talking about literally talks to you and tells you to do something. You're going to go do it, aren't you? And that's what Jonah should have done. Jonah knew that he could not flee from God nor from the Lord's ordained will. I think Jonah knew in his heart that he was going to wind up in Nineveh. But for some reason, unknown to us, Jonah disobeyed the Lord. And he wanted to go to Nineveh. I mean, to torture. Excuse me. Out of human stupidity, he tried to disobey the Lord. Out of human stupidity, not out of spiritual knowledge, he knew in his heart that he was going to get to Nineveh. That's where the Lord told him to go. He knew that's where he was going, right? Hang with me a few minutes. I've got something interesting here. So, in his moment of fleshly ignorance, it says that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now Jonah knew that no one could flee from the omnipresent God. It's impossible to flee away from God. You may flee from his commands, but you'll never flee from God. But he tried, didn't he? That was his intention, wasn't it? So, the Lord showing him his authority and power to show Jonah he was serious in there. So Jonah got his ticket, got on his ship, and said in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. In other words, it was going so hard, it was probably going to break it up. Jonah not only put himself in danger, but he also put poor innocent souls in danger by being there. Jonah knew what was happening. Jonah knew that God caused this wind because he was on the boat. So he puts these innocent souls in danger. In verse 4, he says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, but Wallace, verse 5, we're going to in a second. But while these men on the ship were afraid of dying, what was Jonah doing? He was sleeping. Verse 5 says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Notice that. Keep that in your mind. These men prayed unto their God, not our God, not Jehovah God, not the God of creation, not the God of grace, not the God of mercy, not the God that could actually save them, but to their God. And cast forth the wares that they were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay there, asleep. Says he was fast asleep. Verse 5. Now we're going to skip some of this. I'd love to just teach it all, but that's not, this is not our purpose. But I'm going to show you something here you may have never seen. But Jonah had told these men on that ship that he fled from the presence of God. His God, Jehovah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the omnipotent God. That made them think, didn't it? From verse 10, the second part of verse 10, for the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I don't think I would have told them guys that. They may throw you overboard. I mean, here they are. They got this horrible wind blowing. The ship is about to break to pieces. And they don't understand why, but they remembered that Jonah told them that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He was actually fleeing from the command of God. Then Jonah told them what he had done to calm the sea. Verse 4 to verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm. Why would that calm it down? Because God's doing this, isn't he? Now, let's stop for a second. Think about what's being happening here. Jonah told them, when he got on the ship, that he was fleeing from the presence of his God. They had a different God, didn't they? In fact, they prayed to their God, and your Bible has a little G there, doesn't it? Means it wasn't Jehovah God. It was whatever God they were worshiping at the time. But they had remembered that Jonah told them that he was fleeing from the presence of his God. What did they do? They recognized Jehovah God. They said, his God's doing this. As much as they tried to get to shore, they finally cast Jonah out to sea. Look at verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its rage. So as soon as they cast Jonah out to the sea, God stopped it, didn't he? Would that tell you anything? That would tell you that God is the reason this all happened. See, if Jonah wasn't on that ship, if he had not fled from the presence of God, God never would have caused that sea to rage, and they never would have recognized God as the reason for doing it. Let's get on. Something more interesting here. Now, we do not always know what is accomplished by the workings of God here, do we? We don't always see it, do we? It's like Jimmy Stewart in the It's a Wonderful Life movie. If you ain't seen it, watch it. It's a Christmas movie, I know, but it's a beautiful movie. And Jimmy Stewart was given the opportunity to see what his life would have been like had he not been born. We don't know in our life what actually took place because of something that happened in our life. So we see here these men recognizing Jehovah. But God has a purpose in everything that was done on this trip. While these men on the ship prayed to, quote unquote, their gods, however, our God showed them through the Spirit who is the true God. Didn't he? Now we're seeing some picture here. We're seeing that God caused Jonah to flee and get on that ship for this purpose. So that these people could see what was happening. Let's look at verse 16. It says, Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice unto the Lord. And they vowed. Wow! God got their attention, didn't he? Huh? He sure did. They no longer worship their gods. They worship the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, all because Jonah disobeyed the Lord and got on that ship. Did Jonah know that? Where's Jonah? He's in the sea, isn't he? He didn't even get to see this, did he? Let's go on. So, as for Jonah being in the sea, he spent time in the belly of the big fish, didn't he? Verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Oh, excuse me, hold it right there. Okay. When did God prepare this big fish? During this time? Did God just poof a big fish into the sea? Or did God prepare this big fish over time knowing that Jonah was going to get thrown overboard? God already knew that, didn't he? And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Why 3 days and three nights? Because when you read in the New Testament, they liken Jesus into the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Isn't that something how that worked? Didn't that just coincidentally work out? Wasn't we lucky how that worked out? No, God ordained it all. God ordained it with Jonah, and God ordained it with Christ, and God put it all together in the Word of God, in context, where there's no error. Jonah wasn't guiltless. just because Jonah, God ordained it all, and God brought it all about, doesn't make them guiltless, does it? No, Jonah was guilty. He disobeyed God, didn't he? So Jonah disobeyed God, therefore God put him in the belly of the fish. Here's the conclusion. Let's go to Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into the holy temple, that they observe lying vanity, forsaking their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah said. Jonah said, the only way I'm going to survive here is the Lord save me. Even though God put me here, the only way I'm going to survive is that God save me. Sometimes we get to that point, don't we? See, God puts us in here. God causes things to happen to us. God didn't tell us we were going to have persecution, trial, tribulation, thinking that maybe it might happen. No, God ordained it to happen. Don't question God. Learn from what God's doing. As Jonah did. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited him up out Jonah on dry land. Where? None. He got there, didn't he? The Lord told him he was going, right? Isn't that what God told him? And he got him there. But in the process, look what God done to a ship full of people. He called them to believe in him. Might not have happened had Jonah not been on that boat. But God put him there. God used Jonah as an instrument here to cause the raven winds, to cause a ship to almost break up, to cause a great fright to these people, while Jonah was down there sleeping. Kind of like in the New Testament when Jesus was sleeping. They wake him up! Don't you believe? Don't you believe in God? Do we? Do we trust God? So I went to this because God works with miracles to accomplish his own ordained will. God does, he works in many ways, in mysterious ways, we call it. To accomplish his will. We don't know what God is doing. We act like we know what God's doing. We don't know anything. We can guess. We can suppose. We can reckon. We don't even know what God's doing in our own life. Why did this happen to me? Why if God took a life to save a life? Why God took a life to save a soul? Would that be worth taking a life? Sure. If God can use to take my life to save another soul, I stand here today and say, Lord, take me home. God did this with Jonah. God did this with Moses. God did this with Nebuchadnezzar. Remember everything he did with Nebuchadnezzar? Put him out in the field like an ox for some, what was it, 7 years? As God did this with Jesus. He also did it with his apostles. And you know what? He does it with us today. We just don't look for it. We don't see it. God uses us in many ways. Sometimes when we go out of the way what the Lord wants us there. Maybe you're reaching to somebody through the miracle powers of God to wake them up to salvation. There's something there. There's a reason that everything in your life happens, even persecution. Christians are not persecuted for no reason. Job was not persecuted for no reason. Moses wasn't. Aaron wasn't. Isaiah wasn't. Jesus wasn't. Paul wasn't. Barnabas wasn't. Silas wasn't. All of them. John the Baptist was not beheaded for no reason. God had his own purpose in all of it. Even the 50 million souls of Catholics and others killed in the dark ages. It's always happened. It's happened all the way back to Cain and Abel. It hasn't. Blood was spilt by the will of God. Everybody dies at God's time, on God's calendar, and at God's handiwork. Everybody. We question God when we have no right. We need to accept what happens as God's doing. Sometimes, and I'm about finished. I'm just going to read this part right here and finish, okay? Sometimes we will never understand God. We won't. We're not geniuses. We're people of grace. And how or why he does certain things in our life. We don't know. Why does God allow hurricanes? Why does God bring hurricanes? Why does it rain on the just and the unjust alike? But we do need to always remember that God is in sovereign control of everything. And we do not know what God is doing. We need to understand that. Jonah knew he had wronged God, didn't he? Jonah knew it, didn't he? He knew that God was not going to allow him not to get to Nineveh. God told him to go, and he got there, didn't he? But he disobeyed anyway. Jonah knew everything happening was because of him, didn't he? He just told me off the ship. God stopped him. But what he probably never knew was that it was what God's other accomplishment was through his disobeying. People can look at Jonah and criticize him for disobeying. But can you see like I see that God had a hand in it? Amen. God won't cause us to disobey him. God certainly will cause us to disobey him if that's what God wants. You say then he had no right to punish Jonah. He had every right to punish Jonah. Jonah disobeyed God. Sinners can't be saved if God don't save them. Does that mean that God doesn't punish them for their sins? He's going to put them in the harder part of hell. And it's true, they can't be saved if God don't save them. Is God wrong? No. God is not wrong in anything he does. He has a right as a potter to make the clay anything he wants it to be. And control it like a puppet. And it will do as he commands. It's like these politicians. They're servants of God. God put them in there for a reason. They're not just servants like we are, but they're servants. They're serving God's will. Will Joe Biden pay for his actions? Will Nancy Pelosi pay? Will Chuck Schumer pay? Will McConnell pay? Will all of these people pay? They're going to pay. Yes, they will pay. That doesn't mean that God's not controlling them. Just like he controlled Paul and Barnabas and Silas and all the others in the New Testament. So we will continue this next week. Let's all stand. Have a wonderful night. Wonderful rest.